This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters. There are 12 wonderful original Hooters brand locations in the greater Tampa Bay area where I call home. Let's find out more.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans that live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day. And while you're there, enjoy Hooters' great game day eats. Join us for the Bucks Players Show every Monday night at 5 p.m. at Hooters on Hillsboro.
And for those of you outside the Tampa Bay, Florida area, I'm sure it doesn't take much thought or a quick search on your phone to find the nearest place for hot wings, cold beer, and the service of the world-famous Hooters girls available near you. Fantasy playoffs, week 15. Let me get right to it. We are posting this roughly 11 a.m. Friday, following Chargers win over Chiefs, looking ahead to Sunday and Monday games from a fantasy perspective. All right, let's start with Houston. Two Saturday games. Remember that for your lineups. I love this. They got away from this for a while, but they since have gone back to it once college football ends. I wish they'd even move it up a week and play a couple of Saturday games last Saturday with college football over. Let's talk about the two Saturday games, and remember, if you're waiting until Saturday night or Sunday morning to do your lineups, yeah, you got four teams in play, not a ton of great fantasy options with a couple of exceptions. One of the exceptions, obviously, Houston Texans visiting the Jets. You've been playing DeAndre Hopkins all year. He hasn't been doing as much in recent weeks, but you're certainly playing him in these fantasy playoffs. The Jets can bubble up and play some pass defense. They can. This is sort of a tricky spot for the Texans off their first loss in a while. Now fighting the Colts for the division lead. But still, clearly, Houston is the better team. Jets do have Darnold back. That doesn't do much for the Jets other than the fact that I think Darnold is one of three quarterbacks in the NFL who hasn't thrown an interception against the Blitz. He's thrown plenty of interceptions otherwise. But the plays in this game are obviously DeAndre Hopkins. I don't think Demaryius Thomas or Kuti are plays in this game in a playoff must-win situation. Deshaun Watson, sure. In two quarterback leagues, you're definitely playing him. In single quarterback leagues, unless you have a clear better option, like a top five or six option, you're playing Watson here. And Lamar Miller, I left him for dead. Month and a half ago, Miller's been good. I think Miller finds a way in your lineup if he hasn't already. From the Jets standpoint, you know, this time of year, I just don't like investing my fantasy hopes in dog teams. And the Jets are a dog team. I mean, certain guys will produce here or there for the Jets, but you have nothing to go on against a Texans defense that obviously knows what they're doing. So I wouldn't be necessarily playing any Jets in this game unless you're just that desperate at a outdated mandatory tight end position where you've been using Chris Herndon and Herndon has been returning on your investment and you don't have anyone else to pick up. Cleveland and Denver saw that Ward likely out for Browns. That hurts them on the back end defensively. I've gotten some questions via email at toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com, toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com this week and previous weeks with the injury to Emmanuel Sanders about Cortland Sutton. You know, I want to like Cortland Sutton too. As I've made the point on the email, Cortland Sutton this year reminds me of Corey Davis last year, how we wanted to believe in him and we just couldn't see enough of him. And I think Cortland Sutton does have a productive future in the NFL. There's a lot I don't like about the passing game of the Denver Broncos. Keenum just doesn't seem like a fit there. His yards per game seem very limited relative to the passing trend in the NFL. I mean, the Broncos offense is pretty much Philip Lindsay. and he's been very good. And he's obviously a play in this game, like you've been playing him probably for at least a month now. No reason to take him out of the lineup, even against a defense like the Browns. Both these teams do have something to play for. I think the Browns are actually trending more in the right direction. I don't buy that the Broncos are a playoff team. I like the Browns better at quarterback with Mayfield. I think in a two quarterback league, you can play Mayfield. I wouldn't be playing Case Keenum in either a one or two quarterback league, even with Ward out for the Browns. Chubb is definitely playing two really undervalued running backs who have done very well in fantasy this year. Nick Chubb and Lindsey in this game. Definitely RB2s. And some would make the case they're RB1s, but you're playing them. If you have the luxury of playing them at a flex, I get it. Although I prefer to play guys at a flex position who are catching balls out of the backfield if they're running backs, or I just play wide receivers at that position because, you know, just look at Pittsburgh's. With as great a year as James Conner had, you know what Pittsburgh's play calling ratio has been this year? 3-1 passes to runs. 3-1. So, especially at the flex position, why would you play a running back there who doesn't catch passes? You're just leaving potential points on the table. I've been saying that all year. So, I'd say Chubb and Lindsey are RBs. They're not flex plays. From the Cleveland standpoint, welcome back Jarvis Landry. Last two games, he's been putting up terrific numbers. I almost held out Travis Kelce last night against the Chargers because Kelce doesn't tend to put up big numbers against the Chargers and was going to give me two more days to think about putting Jarvis Landry or Dante Pettis in my wide receiver tight end flex spot. I didn't do it. But Landry's had a couple of good games. He's in flex consideration or, say, wide receiver three consideration. Some would even say he's a wide receiver two in this game. I wouldn't be playing Sutton. I wouldn't be playing any of the. I wouldn't be playing any Bronco other than Lindsey. But from the Browns standpoint, I think I've given you a pretty good rundown there. Any other Browns pass catchers are too speculative for a playoff situation. Minnesota at home against Miami. I think Minnesota will get a nice spike off the termination of DeFilippo, much like Green Bay's gotten a nice spike with Mike McCarthy out of the building. I think it simplifies some things. I think more people are going to be on the same page. Filippo's got a bright future in the NFL. 13 games in Minnesota where he had a winning record aren't going to hurt him. But I think Minnesota will be better. Kirk Cousins, I think, is he's a fringe QB1 play, but he's definitely a two-quarterback league play. Dalvin Cook, seeing virtually all the action last week against Seattle. I don't think they go totally away from Dalvin Cook with DeFilippo gone. I think Cook is still in there as at least an RB2 play, or you can play him at the flex because, as he proved last week, he can catch balls out of the backfield. Thielen's numbers have been down in recent weeks, but you're still not sitting him for the playoffs. And the same goes for Diggs. Dolphins, you know, off that 69-yard touchdown with two laterals against the Patriots, the Dolphins' record, if it surprises you, that's just how good Adam Gase is as a head coach. But this doesn't strike me as a game Adam Gase wins. And in games Adam Gase isn't in within one possession, the Dolphins generally get taken behind the woodshed and lose by double digits and well into double digits. This feels like one of those games to me, especially with the game in Minnesota and the coordinator change in Minnesota. So I wouldn't get too speculative. The Dolphins are tough to predict as it is. It's not like you picked up Brandon Bolden and you're plugging him in at running back in a fantasy playoff situation this week. Don't. I wouldn't get too excited about Kenyon Drake or Frank Gore. If you're desperate, maybe Kenny Stills. Unless you have no other real option, I don't think you're playing Ryan Tannehill in a two-quarterback league. Oakland, Cincinnati. Bengals have been the worst team in football the last month and a half. Oakland seems motivated. They've played back-to-back solid games against the Chiefs and against the Steelers. I think these guys are, they're playing, first of all, they see the end of the season is near if they don't like John Gruden, and they might be coming to the realization that John Gruden does call all the shots in Oakland. That if they, you know, if they want to keep their job, they got to show him something. They got to play for him. Because he'll be making the decisions in the offseason. Now, they could go somewhere else, some of them, and get a job, but not all of them. So I like the Raiders here. You know, even though they're a bad team, you look at some of the numbers in recent weeks. Carr is in play in two quarterback leagues. Cook is in play at the tight end position. I mean, he's had good numbers all year, but he's had some dud games also. Jordy Nelson is the clear number one wide receiver there. I wouldn't get too excited about it, but if you're looking for a flex play, Jordy Nelson might be a play against the Bengals. Doug Martin could be one of those plug-and-play RB2s if you've been one of the many people that have lost the handful of running backs that have gone out in recent weeks. And add Spencer Ware to that list most recently. From the Bengals standpoint, I guess you play Joe Mixon. I wouldn't feel great about it. And I guess you play Tyler Boyd. But you're not feeling good about it because the Bengals just really, really stink. Tampa Bay and Baltimore. Remember how the Bucs went to Chicago week 4 and the game was over by halftime? This game has that feel to me, that Baltimore can just do almost whatever it wants. And then their defense keeps Tampa Bay from keeping up. I talk about this in the previous Bucks Bulletin edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast as it relates to Ravens and Bucks. So please reference that cast for this particular game. We move on to Dallas and Indianapolis. Dallas winners of 5 in a row. Indy has as much to play for as Dallas does. I'm really not sure what to make of this game. I do think, for what it's worth, the Vegas total is too high at 47. Because I'd be hedging my fantasy bets in this game. You know, Hilton, again, could come down to a game day decision. I'm sure he's going to play. I own him in my podcast league where I didn't win last week, but Hilton put up nearly 200 yards. I don't think you're sitting him against the Cowboys, but I don't think it's a great matchup for Hilton. You have to temper your expectations and get explosive numbers from somebody else. No running back excites me in this game against the Cowboy defense. That said, I think the Colts do play good defense. They got some terrific first and second year players that have helped that defense play well for enough of this season, and we know Dallas is kind of a start and stop offense, but much better since Amari Cooper's been out there. Yes, you're playing Amari Cooper. Yes, you're playing Ezekiel Elliott. Dak Prescott, two quarterback league play to me. Andrew Luck, of course you're playing him in single quarterback leagues, even against the Cowboy defense, just because the expectation is he's going to throw it a lot. But I do see a lower scoring game here than Vegas. Detroit and Buffalo. Dog game. Kind of like that Detroit-Arizona game last week. Josh Allen in a two-quarterback league for the rushing yards, sure. Just know the floor could be a trap door at any point. Matt Stafford as a two-quarterback league option, I guess he's been one of the most disappointing players in all of fantasy. I don't want to waste a lot of time on players in this game just because it is such a dog game. If you have Lions or Bills that you want to ask me about, like, I wouldn't be plugging and playing Zay Jones in a fantasy playoff situation this week. Galladay, I think you can do better with someone else on your roster this week because Buffalo can play pass defense. So I just don't see a lot here that I like. You know, Detroit brought Zach Zenner back. I love Zach Zenner, but the fact that he's back playing for the Lions in a game like this just tells you what a dog game it is. I don't want to give you a reason to watch it. Green Bay and Chicago. Green Bay has life now because McCarthy doesn't have his pass to the building. They showed that last week, and they should show it again here in Chicago. I'm not real keen on the Bears' offense in this game. Mitchell Trubisky didn't play well against the Rams. They relied on Jordan Howard. Green Bay defends running backs catching the ball to the backfield very well. That means Tariq Cohen is kind of a risky RB2 or flex play. From Green Bay's standpoint, you're certainly playing Devontae Adams, and I think you might get here at the very end more out of your Aaron Rodgers high draft pick than you did most of the season. Granted, it is the Bear defense, but Aaron Rodgers, I believe, is 16-4 against the Bears. Yeah. So play Aaron Rodgers, play Devontae Adams, play Aaron Jones, and from the Bears' standpoint, I'd lean to Jordan Howard over Tariq Cohen, and I'm not sure if I like anyone else other than you're playing Mitchell Trubisky as a QB2 play. Tennessee and the Giants. Giants are going to find life much more difficult against the Tennessee defense, and Tennessee has had two extra days to prepare. Now it's three, even though they go on the road to the Giants. So for the Giants, keep checking the status on Odell Beckham Jr. If he's out again, it doesn't necessarily raise the fantasy value of a Shepard or an Ingram, in my opinion, to the point where you're playing him in a playoff situation. Barkley is the only play for the Giants. From the Tennessee standpoint, don't chase points with Derrick Henry. Just don't. This feels like a 11-carry, 44-yard game, touchdown-dependent Derrick Henry game to me, even after what he did last week. Corey Davis, yeah, I guess you can make a case there, maybe as a flex play or a wide receiver 3 play. Mariota is a QB2 play. Deion Lewis is not a play. I have to check to make sure he's still on the roster because he's just not been doing very much. Washington-Jacksonville, it is a dog game, but yeah, I can't give you anything fantasy-wise here. I just can't. You don't have much of a reason to watch this game. Go ahead and play Fournette if you want. Go ahead and play Adrian Peterson if you want. I understand it. I'm just not excited about it. If you have better options than Fournette and Peterson, I advise you to look at them. Even Vegas has this as an over-under of 36. I like Johnson better than Kessler. Just from motivation standpoint, Johnson's been waiting his whole life to play. And he showed that in the mop-up duty against the Giants. But there's not a lot of fantasy points out there in this particular game. Arizona and Atlanta, two teams also playing out the string. Atlanta has gone down the toilet, but still Julio Jones has been good. And where Julio Jones is good, Matt Ryan is good enough. I think you have better QB1 options than Matt Ryan. But if you don't, I understand. Julio Jones will get Matt Ryan enough. Despite having the opportunity to have the lead job all year, Tevin Coleman has been a disappointment, showing he's basically a number two back in the National Football League. He's been splitting time with Ito Smith. There are much more DFS plays in this game than season-long plays. Even David Johnson and Cardinals don't excite me in this game. Seattle-San Francisco. Tough to know which wide receiver is going to be on the receiving end of Russell Wilson lighting things up, which he did against the Niners a couple of weeks ago. Then Russell Wilson had his worst game as a professional last week, albeit in a win against the Vikings. Wilson should bounce back. I think he is QB1 material this week. Just had a bad game last week against the Vikings. And especially down in the red zone, did some stupid things and maybe some bad play calling as well. Nothing. We've talked about the Seattle running backs ad nauseum for years. Still too tough to predict there. If you have a good vibe on a Seattle running back, you roll with it. I need to see more, and I'm waiting now for next season. From San Francisco's standpoint, there was waiver play this week on the Niners. Guys like Jeff Wilson, if you didn't give him the week before. Dante Pettis, if you didn't give him the week before. Nick Mullins back in play. Again, they're probably better DFS options, but if you're desperate, any of those three guys could be plug and play as an RB2, a wide receiver 3 or a flex, or in two quarterback leagues with Nick Mullins. New England-Pittsburgh, very high total on this game, into the 50s. I don't like Sony Michel here. He's not producing the same on average per carry as he was before the knee injury. I don't like him here. I think it's too speculative for a fantasy playoff. Feels more like and even Devlin is getting the goal line touches. So it feels more like a James White game to me, because of the up and down nature of the game. Unless for some reason Belichick's been saving Michelle for this game, but I highly doubt that. From the Pittsburgh standpoint, all the normal names are in play. Brown, Juju, Big Ben. Keep checking status on Pittsburgh running backs. I wouldn't sit Gronk in this game. He's had a very bad year, but I wouldn't sit him in this spot. He tends to show on stages like this, especially against the Steelers. Tom Brady put up a lot of numbers last week. Yeah, you can make a case. You start him in a QB1 in a single quarterback league this week. Josh Gordon, same thing. Julian Edelman, same thing. Let's see. Philadelphia and the Rams, keep checking status on Wentz. It feels like Foles is going to go. If you're planning to plug and play Nick Foles, be careful. Yeah, I know this is the spot he came in last year and the Eagles went to the Super Bowl. Remember, last time we saw Nick Foles playing quarterback for the Eagles, he looked really bad. He looked bad all August, and he looked bad for the first couple of games of the season. I wouldn't be playing Nick Foles, and doesn't feel like Carson Wentz is going to play. Zach Ertz off a bad game. I mean, I know Zach Ertz has been wonderful for you, but if Nick Foles plays, I mean, he didn't get the ball to Ertz when he was starting before. This is one of the situations you might want to consider playing somebody else other than Zach Ertz if you have a better option. If you have Eric Ebron, if you have George Kittle, I didn't mention him previously. You got to keep checking status on Breida, by the way, for that Niners game. Don't play Jeff Wilson if Breida is active and they say he's good to go. But this might not be a good spot for Zach Ertz. From the Rams standpoint, they've had some down games recently. But the Eagles are hurting in the secondary. So if Goff wants to go deep, he should be able to go deep in this game where Cooks, Woods, maybe even Josh Reynolds, although the numbers haven't supported playing him since he took over for Cooper Kupp. I'm wondering if Todd Gurley is 100%, right? Remember how they held him out of that Rams-Chiefs game? I know that was a month ago. But it's not like something might be up there with Gurley. Yeah, you're playing him. But at this point, you're like, I wouldn't expect Todd Gurley to carry you the way he did in this spot in the fantasy playoffs last year. And finally, the Monday night game, New Orleans-Carolina. Maybe Kamara and Thomas and Breeze start rolling again. And Breeze stops throwing touchdowns to random skill position players rather than the big targets he's hit all year. Carolina has been shredded in their pass defense. And I could see New Orleans getting up in this game and Cam Newton kind of being in one of those moods of, you know, he's just going to chew his gum. And just get it over with. All the normal Saints are in play in this game. You just got your fingers crossed based on what's been happening in recent weeks. From Carolina standpoint, I think it's McCaffrey And if you're desperate, Curtis Samuel. But predicting the Carolina targets is kind of like predicting the Seattle targets right now. It's very speculative. But you're still playing McCaffrey. Look, if Cam doesn't want the ball, he just go hand it to or throw it to McCaffrey and let him do it. Because McCaffrey approaches every game like it's the last game before an Armageddon. And that's what we love about Christian McCaffrey. Send me any of your questions for your season-long leagues. And how about this? Instead of just saying Todd A or B, you can say, I have a decision to make between this player and this player. And then tell me how you're leaning and why. Give me your case for or against the players in question. I like having a dialogue. And no, I don't do Twitter. I prefer to talk to you one-on-one via email, and I answer all the emails that come in the last 2 years. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. That does it for this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters.